Apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? See, here's the deal. We make the mistake of trying to find our enjoyment and our fulfillment in work from our work itself. Do you get that? We make the mistake of trying to say we're only going to find our enjoyment and our fulfillment as we're able to find that in the work itself. Ecclesiastes is telling it, no, that's not the way it works. Fulfillment, enjoyment in life comes from God. Fulfillment in our work world, fulfillment in our life world, fulfillment, finding meaning and purpose, comes from the experience of God in all of it. The joy in our labor, the fulfillment in our labor, the enjoyment in our labor comes because we know in our labor we are experiencing the opportunity of God to work in our life. You see, God has been at work already before you got to work. And it's understanding that when we go to work, it's the opportunity to do incredible things for God. Just like we do in our family, just like we do in our hobbies, just like we do in the rest of our life, in our work. It's the opportunity to do incredible work for God. Okay, let me give you an illustration to kind of flesh that out. You ready? How many remember Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? Yes, you're all on board with that one, right? Do you remember the dwarfs? Of course. They popped out of bed every morning, ready to go, excited to go to work, except for Sleepy, I think, right? But everybody else popped out of bed, excited for work, ready to go. They put their pick on their shoulder, and they walked down, going to the mine, singing, right? What were they singing? Sing it with me. Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. Hey, they're pumped, they're excited, because they're going to work. How can these guys be so excited every single day? How could they be so thrilled and enjoyed and filled with the opportunity? Hi-ho, hi-ho, we're going to the mine. We're off to work we go. How could they do that? Ah, the answer is listening to what they also sang. Now, I'm not a good singer in this stuff. Bear with me on this, but here's what they were singing. You ready? We dig, 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 dig in our mind the whole day through. To dig, 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 dig is what we really like to do. It ain't no trick to get rich quick if you dig, dig, dig with a shovel or a pick in a mine, in a mine, in a mine, in a mine. Now listen, you ready? Where a million diamonds shine. Why are they so thrilled about going to work? Because every day they're pulling out diamonds the size of softballs. Wouldn't you be happy? Holy cow, these guys are happy every day because they're going to work and they know when they go to work, they're going to mine diamonds. They're going to mine something incredibly valuable. You see, when you go to work and God gives you the opportunity to do some incredibly valuable things, to mine diamonds in your work, to mine diamonds in how you influence your coworkers, to mine diamonds in how you influence your boss, to mine diamonds in how you influence your customers, to mine diamonds in the witness that you make as a worker who understands enjoyment comes from God. Look at the scripture again. It says, everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil. This is the gift of God. What's the gift? To know that God has given you the toil. He's given you the opportunity to work and mine diamonds every single day. To mine those valuable relationships that can change people's hearts and give praise and witness to God. You do that in your work and you will find enjoyment. Now, I watch baseball. And, of course, I watch one team in particular. And they're not doing so well, by the way. But You know Carlos Zambrano, the pitcher for the Chicago Cubs? You ever watch him? No, you never watch the Cubs. Okay, well, this, I could just move on then. It probably doesn't mean anything to you, does it? I thought this would work. You know him. I know. Okay. Well, Matt knows him, so we'll do it for Matt. Matt knows him, yeah. No, you ever watch the ball players in general, right? But Zambrano does this all the time, right? He's out on the mound. He gets through the inning, right? Now, sometimes it's a good inning. Sometimes it's not a good inning. Okay? Nevertheless, the guy gets off the mound, and he goes through this ritual. He gets off the mound. He walks towards the dugout. Before he hits the foul line, right, he takes off his hat, shoves it in his glove, puts his glove like this, you know, and then, you know, goes like that. Right? Now, what's he doing? Well, you know, I know we have ups or downs about whether ballplayers should do that or whatever, whatever. But, you know, it's a great illustration for us of saying, you know what? When you're at work and you walk out the door at night, how awesome it is, would it be for you to find enjoyment in God, that God was with you in that day of labor, and just be able to walk out of that door and say, oh, God, you are awesome today. You are absolutely awesome today in my work because I was able to mine diamonds for you today. You are awesome, God, in my work because I was able to be who you wanted me to be today and make a witness for you today in my work. You see, that's where you're going to find the enjoyment in your work. When you understand a life view that says every piece of life, including your work, is an opportunity to mine diamonds. Scripture says this: there is nothing better for a person than that he should eat, drink, and find enjoyment in his toil. We've discovered that already, right? Now look at the second half of the verse. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? You can't have enjoyment apart from understanding your labor in the context of God. Why don't you watch the screen for a minute? Let me give you an example of how one business owner understands this concept of labor and how he understands being able to bring this concept of enjoyment in life, of an opportunity to mine diamonds in his business. Watch the screen for a minute.
If you go to a business school, they'll say that the purpose of business is to increase the value of the shareholders. I think it's a little short-sighted. It makes more sense that business is creating eternal value. China is playing catch-up in the world marketplace. When I was here studying language in 87, the laws changed allowing foreigners to have their own businesses. So I guess we kind of just slid in through a really small window of opportunity. The Lord is a tangible part of what we do. The ministry is right in the daily work itself. It's not that 8 to 5 is like a drag so I can get to the really important stuff at 6 o'clock at 9. It's like 8 to 5, that's when I'm with all these people. We have this time together. We got so much we can do together. That's where the action is. What value is there in bringing an intern to work with us? In a case like Adriel, we're getting a huge value both from what he's learned and what he's picked up experience-wise. We also have a boost from what he is doing in supporting our spiritual emphasis. He's chosen to live among our workers in an area that's not as comfortable as a lot of others, and that's been a big plus.
The best things that I learned from Bill Job are from watching and walking with him. Back at college, studying a degree called Manufacturing Supply Chain Management, which is an integration of business and engineering. I can do that at Microsoft, I can do that at Starbucks, I can do that wherever, yet I would be in a cubicle, looking at a wall, working on a computer. Here I get the experience of learning how to manage people as well as do it in a kingdom mindset. So the reason I'm here is to see how that, my degree, integrates with business and integrates with faith.
True business really should have an eternal component to it. The issue that we want to look at is not the money part of it. The money is a small part. The main thing is the relational part. And so we pay attention to our hearts. Handicapped people who are on the street begging for most of their life, We're able to give them jobs. They find a new life in Christ. They find a family.
我的名字叫姓王，名海森。因为一般的时候，我自我介绍的时候，我就是。
I used to be a beggar and had no family.
我来美下。
One day, Bill saw me and helped me work in his factory.
我也是个。
I got to know Jesus with the help of our boss. The company invites people to give lectures about interpersonal relationships and management of money and marriage, which gives us more knowledge. I really appreciate it. Love is everywhere in the company.
For at least 5 years, we were praying for the local orphanage. They've allowed us to hire and train and place teachers in their facility to help them handle a difficult job. If we weren't a company, we couldn't do that.
Business is demanding and it tests you every day. So if I'm going to be a Christian on Sunday morning and I'm not going to be it during the week, that's a huge cut. They just don't make sense. Hopefully I get to move westward, towards somewhere in Central Asia, and start up one of these things and see what it looks like there. It's a lifestyle and it will be a lifestyle.
Sharing whatWe've seen happen here is a little bit like the Lord just doing some neat things for us, and I'm really happy for people to come and look if they see Him. But if they just see us doing something interesting or neat, I think we've missed the story. But when they see Him, then they go home and they realize, you know, I didn't hear anything that couldn't happen here.And I think that's really what the Lord has up his sleeve.
Diamonds. Understanding the opportunity of labor to make a difference for Christ in your labor. Now let's take that principle and try to apply that now to some of the relationships that are inherent in labor. And Scripture has something to say about each one of these relationships.First one is relating to your employer. So most of the folks out there in their labor are not the business owners, right? Most are out there and they're the worker types. And the question that we'll look at is, well, okay, as a worker then, as a laborer, what is your relationship to the business? What is your relationship to your boss? Here's what Paul says in Colossians 3. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Now, what does he understand about his labor?You may be a worker in a company, but you don't work for the company. Who do you work for? Well, you work for Christ. Why? Because you're mining diamonds. You're mining diamonds. You're making a witness for Christ in terms of the way you are as a person and a laborer. As a person and a laborer, if you're a person and a laborer that works heartily from the heart, that gives everything you've got every single day, that's going to make an incredible witness. You're going to mine diamonds. And your boss is going to look at you and say, how could you do that? And the answer is, well, let me tell you about Christ. He's my boss. He's who I work for. I get up every day and I understand from the get-go, I'm a laborer from Christ. And that's where I get my joy and my fulfillment, is to understandthat our boss is Christ, and the witness we make as a laborer is absolutely vital. Now, Jesus understood this. In Jesus' time, when Rome occupied Israel, there was a law that any Roman soldier at any point in time, if he got tired of carrying his heavy equipment, military equipment, he could just tap any Jewish citizen on the shoulder and say, hey, carry my stuff.And that person would be required by law to carry his stuff for 1 mile. Well, you can imagine how the folks responded to that. I mean, the usual case was the Roman soldier got tired of carrying his stuff. He tapped somebody on the shoulder and they said, oh, I can't believe I got to do this. And they'd pick up his stuff and they would fulfill their obligation and they would carry it for 1 mile. And at the end of 1 mile, they'd drop it and say, there, I did it. I'm done. I'm out of here. Right? What Jesus says to that is this: if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. What's he asking you to do? Don't be a minimum worker. Don't be a minimum worker, because you are mining diamonds and you have the opportunity in your labor to make an incredible witness for Christ. As you make that witness, you work for him, and so do everything you can do to be the best that you can be in all of your life, including your labor. And understand, you will also benefit from being that kind of laborer and that kind of witness. In Proverbs 13, it says, no matter how much you want, laziness won't help a bit. Isn't it great when the Bible is so simple and clear? I mean, it's kind of in your face, isn't it? No matter how much you want, laziness won't help a bit. But hard work will reward you with more than enough. See, the Bible understands that if you're a maximum worker and you work in a maximum way for Christ, Christ is going to honor that, because you're mining diamonds and making that kind of difference as a worker. Now on to the other side. Let's flip the coin and look at the other relationship. What about those who are relating to employees? What about you folks out there who are the bosses, who are the owners of the company, or the ones who are in management and have that privilege of being in that level? Here's what the Bible says to you. Colossians 4. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. What did the Bible just tell you? You don't work for yourself. You may own the company, but God owns you. God owns your life. And you work for him. And how you treat your employees and what you do with your customers is a reflection on Christ, because you belong to him. As a business owner, it is your opportunity as well to influence your workers for Christ, to influence your employees and your customers for Christ, and mine those diamonds. Leviticus 19 comes straight at it. It says, do not steal anything or cheat anyone, and don't fail to pay your workers at the end of each day. Why? Because you're making a witness for Christ. You're mining diamonds. Let me give you an example. Back in the 1920s, a pharmacist, now remember, this was back in the 1920s, a pharmacist bought a drugstore on the south side of Chicago. And he decided, after he got the store kind of established, he needed to do more for his customers. So he thought about how could he be a better pharmacy. Here's what he decided to do. In those days, customers would simply call in and order their drugs. What a day that was, huh? They would just call in on the phone and they would, you know, give them their prescription and off it went, right? Here's what he decided to do. When the customer called in, he answered the phone as the pharmacist, and when they told him what they wanted, he would repeat that loudly so his co-worker could hear it. He'd repeat the drug order loudly. The co-worker would hear it. The co-worker right away would put together the drugs, the prescription. He'd put that all together, and right away he would give it to a delivery guy, and the delivery guy would go as fast as he could out to this person's house. And you thought pizza delivery guys were the first ones to do it fast, right? No, he would go as fast as he could out to this person's house. The drugstore owner would continue to talk to his customer until the delivery boy arrived with a prescription. Isn't that awesome? Now here's what's fascinating. That was so successful that he became the most popular drugstore on the south side of Chicago. And within a few years, Charles Walgreen revolutionized the pharmacy business. What was his name? Charles Walgreen. And you can't not go anywhere and see a Walgreens, right? Why? He made a difference for his customers. You see, if you're the business owner, it's your chance to stand up and find the enjoyment in Christ of having an incredibly successful business that takes care of your employees and makes a difference for your customers. Deuteronomy 24. Pay them their wages at the end of each day, because they live in poverty and need money to survive. If you don't pay them on time, they'll complain about you to the Lord, and he will punish you. What are they going to do if you're not responsible? They're going to complain. Is there any complaining in the work world? They're going to complain. It's in the Bible. They're going to complain. You see that? Why? Because you're not finding the enjoyment of mining diamonds. Mining diamonds. I got to go quick. Third relationship, relating to co-workers. This is probably the most difficult place in the whole environment of the work world, right? Is relationships with co-workers. Let me just give you some tips to rethink as you go to work on Tuesday this next week in those relationships with your co-workers. First, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 and see what that says. It says, some of us are Jews, others are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, others are free. Is every co-worker you know the same? No, they're all unique and they're absolutely all different, right? Okay? You need to understand that. You need to understand they're all different. They have different needs. They have different attitudes. They have different life experiences. They're all going to experience life different than the way you experience life. But now look at this. But God's Spirit baptized each of us and made us part of the body of Christ. Now we each drink from that same Spirit. Here's the question I have for you. When you go to work on Tuesday, do you know the co-workers who are followers of Christ? Do you know who they are? You see, you should, because they belong to your family. You should, because they belong to your family. See, when you're dealing with co-workers and those co-workers know Christ and you know Christ, you're in the same family. And we treat family different, don't we? I mean, we relate with family different. When you're having a struggle with a co-worker, if that co-worker is also a believer in Christ, you guys need to start there in solving the disagreement you have as a co-worker. You need to say, well, wait a minute, we got to back off and say, hey, we're brothers and sisters in Christ first. You see, if you can start with that relationship, it totally changes the dynamics of your relationship as a co-worker. Why? Because you're mining diamonds. You're mining diamonds with your co-worker. You're being able to make a witness and care for them in Christ as a brother and a sister. Equally, remember that in Christ, all of your co-workers are absolutely equal. It says in Galatians 3, faith in Christ Jesus is what makes each of you what? Equal with each other. See, we get into that work life and we start doing the favoritism thing. In Christ, there's no favoritism. Christ died for all people. Every person in your company, every person that you work with is incredibly valuable to Christ. They are a diamond that He died for, and they're a diamond just waiting for you to mine, to influence and make a difference for Christ. When it comes to your co-workers, find out who's in the family of faith. And look at each co-worker as an opportunity to mine a diamond, will you? Last thing, and I'm going to quit. When you go in on Tuesday, go in into your labor knowing that you're a worker under God's promises. That you work knowing that the promises apply to you. Scripture says this, Ecclesiastes, back where we started with that chunk of Ecclesiastes. It says, for he will not much remember the days of his life because God keeps him occupied. Where's his focus? Oh, he's occupied with something. We're going to learn what it is. God keeps him focused, not in all the frustration of work, not in all the hassles of the co-worker relationships. Not. God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. Why? Because when you go into work on Tuesday, you belong to Jesus Christ. When you go in that door, when you go into your labor and your experience of labor, you go in the door as a child of promise. You go into that door and you are a child of God for whom Jesus Christ laid down His life. When you go into that door, you go in there as a saint and a priest, a holy nation. You go in there as part of a royal family of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing that's going to happen in that day. There's no disappointment in your labor. There's nothing that's going to happen in your relationship. There is nothing that's going to happen in that day that can change how much God loves you. Remember when you go into that labor, that you go in as a child of the promise. You know the verse, John 3:16. You've memorized it, right? God loved the people of this world so much. Are you one of those people? God loved, if you're a people, you qualify. God loved the people of this world so much that He gave His only Son so that everyone, are you in everyone? So that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die. When you're in your labor, it is an opportunity to mine diamonds and to find enjoyment because you're a child of God making a difference in the world. And you do it knowing that Jesus Christ loved you and laid down his life for you, and he will love you every single minute in your labor. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you. We really do thank you for our labor, the opportunity to experience enjoyment, not just in a few places in our life, but in all the places of our life, including our labor. And we ask you this morning, Lord, help us to see that. Help us to know that truth in each of our lives. That when Monday comes around, we can say, thank God it's Monday. Because we know you're going to be in the midst of it, that you've already been working for us, and that you're already creating the opportunity for us to mine those diamonds and to find the joy of being your person, your servant, your worker. We ask today, bless our labor that all would be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.